Service over, and we'll have Brother Malachi take up the offering, and we'll sing "Create in Me a Clean Heart" as Brother Daniel.
Yeah. seated if he'd like to, unless my wife would like to come up and sing, you know. I'm with Brother Tony. I believe she can sing because I can hear her from up here, and she sings really good. Would you say, Brother Daniel, that ain't saying much for you, but I still think she sounds good. I think she really, you know, she's got a lot of gifts inside her that I think she keeps concealed. And I think in Arkansas, it's open carry. So it's time for you to start bringing those gifts out so everybody can see them. Say amen.
Amen.
It's, I think we got gifts inside this church where everybody's got something inside it. You know, you got a gift. You got something that you can move the devil with. That's why I say open carry. You know, she needs to show the devil, look, I ain't afraid to use this thing. Amen. We had a good time at fellowship at Knoll. Heard Brother Joel preach. That brother is a little powerhouse. I'm here to tell you. He's every time you think he's going to stop, he just opened up another gear. I was like, my goodness, how many gears this brother got? So I thought it was just a real good time. Enjoyed Brother Timothy. Visiting with him just a little bit that I got to do. So praise the Lord. Got to visit with the Lane family and introduce us to some curry up that way. And it was just a good time. Good time of fellowship. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to say God bless you. If you notice, if I look like I'm nervous, well, it's probably because I am. You ever had a, I don't know if you don't preach, you won't know this, but I like to have my sermon laid out the way I'm going to preach it, and then everything was going out, and this morning, it's like the further the morning goes, it feels like I'm going a different direction, and that's nervous. That's a little nervous thing, so you just got to say, Lord, here I am. You know, I'm just going to be used by you, so I want to speak to y'all on our Father's table. Our Father's table. Let's go to St. John chapter 10, verses 7. One scripture. It says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door for the sheep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for being with us, Lord, because we know you're what makes the difference in a service, Lord. We can come together, we can sing songs, we can do all kinds of things, but Lord, it takes you to make things happen. And Lord, we just ask you that you'd feel welcome here. Lord, that you would come through the simplicity of what I have to give, Lord, that you can edify your body, Lord. This is your congregation. Lord, and I just want to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, there's something special about a relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. And how many knows we have a great shepherd? Amen. The sheep depend solely upon their shepherd to lead them, to feed them, and to protect them. And the sheep can rest knowing that their shepherd is watching over them. And I think it's so important that we remember that that's where the confidence of a sheep comes from. It's not in what he can do, it's what his shepherd can do. And that's what it is for us. And, you know, I want to ask you, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is not just your shepherd, but he's watching over you? Yes, I mean, it's not just a simple question, but is he really? Because, you know, I believe that we need to truly believe that. I want to read a quote. It says, sheep are funny little creatures in one way. Here's another thing we might learn of sheep tonight. When the weather is real hot, did you ever see sheep? They won't separate themselves and be one at one place and one at another. But right in the heat of the day, the sheep will all stand together. You know what they're doing? They're making shade one for the other. They're having fellowship. And wouldn't it be good if all God's sheep, when the heat was on, would stand together? When the trials are real hard and the heat is on and everything's going on everywhere, if all of God's little sheep would just stand together, we'd have the coolness of the shade of each other, the comfort to lean upon each other. Now, someone said, is that necessary, Brother Branham? It certainly is. There's nothing like having a real, good, dependable friend that when the troubles are blazing, the heat's on, you can go to this friend and sit down and just explain it to them. Talk it over in personal confidence. And then kneel down and pray together. And know that this person is a God-saved man or woman that you can put confidence in. Oh, it's good to do that. Come, let us reason together, saith the scripture. Or come, let us stand together. I believe it's so important that we remember that we have brothers and sisters that we can stand together. We're living in the greatest pressure of any day. Right. There's not a single person in here that's not under pressure.
Right.
We've all got battles. We're all fighting things. And all of us, at times, don't know what to do.
Right.
It's during those times the devil will try to get you to go by yourself. And don't do that. It's very important that we stand together. Because there's power in unity.
Amen.
Satan will do his very best to destroy our confidence in one another. Satan has come for a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. And he will attempt to destroy families, destroy friendships, and destroy churches.
Right.
It's so important that we remember that we have an enemy.
Yeah.
And this enemy will do this. He will try to come against your friendships.
Yeah.
He will try to come against your church. He will try to destroy your confidence in every person you have. Because he wants it to where you can't confide in a friend. He'll make you feel like, I can't talk about these people because of this or this. And most of the stuff that you think is going on is total nonsense.
Right.
The devil will fill lies and paint a picture of nothing, that was never there.
Right.
And build a complex on somebody. This is the devil that we fight.
Yeah.
Right.
I fight the same devil. Many times Satan will begin this by causing a person to be misunderstood. Sometimes something can be said in a certain demeanor, and somebody else can say the same thing. He said this and said it in the wrong demeanor. And you take it completely the wrong way. And the whole time, Satan's driving a wedge down a block of wood. What is Satan doing? Breaking fellowship. Satan does this in marriages. Satan does this in friendships. Satan does this in churches. This is how Satan works. He is an enemy, and this is how he works, brothers and sisters. God is a God of unity. And it's not just by some organization, as we all know. It's under the revelation of this word. There's one table. And the message this morning is, come to the Father's table. There's something about coming to a Father's table when I think about that. Because when you come to a Father's table, it's a time of unity to where there's one vision in a house. When you come to, my children come to my house, there's one vision in our house. And that's the vision I believe that God gave me. And I try my best to give it to my wife, and my wife tries her best to give it to the children. It's one vision. So when we come around the table, no matter what ideas are there, it all comes back to one vision of what we believe is right. And I believe God has one great big table that not just this church, but every church around the world, there is one table.
Yeah.
There might be different churches, but there's one table.
Right.
We are striving, we are fighting to get to that one table. There won't be Spirit-proof assembly here table, this table over here, a Pawnee church over here, this church over here, a Vanilla church here. There will be one table, brother and sister. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I'm striving to get to that table. I want my seat, but I also want you to be in your seat.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. In Psalms 133:1, it says, behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brother Brennan talked about how a couple, excuse me, my throat was kind of dry, so I had to eat a cough drop. Brother Brennan talked about a young couple that was going to get a divorce. And this couple, I don't know what they were fighting about, but apparently it started at something and it built up to something big. And you know, a lot of times a fight between a marriage or a couple usually starts out as nothing. It's a silly thing. Most of the time when people fight, if you think about later on, what are we fighting about? You don't even know what you fought about. Is that true, or was that just an argument? This woman and this man had got into a fight, and we have a wonderful relationship. Don't misunderstand me. I believe you do too. But this husband and a wife, something happened. There was some kind of thing where there was a time they had confidence in one another. They loved one another. And if this person heard that and said, no, I know him. Or if she heard, oh no, I know him. I know her. I know this. But somehow the devil drove a wedge there. Somehow the devil started putting something there and something happened. And little by little by little by little, this little couple began to separate. And they had somebody there with them. I can't remember who it was, maybe the lawyer or something. But they were going through the house, and the man said, this is mine. She said, this is mine. They go to each room and they went all the way up to the attic and they said, "This is mine," and said, "This is mine." And they both landed on a baby shoe. And when they took the shoe and picked it up, they both grabbed tears in their eyes. And they found something in common. And they was able to hug one another and come back together in unity. And you know, I believe that that's what we need today. Not just in this church, but I'm talking about the bride of Jesus Christ, that we need to come together in unity. Of seeing that we have something in common. We were all fallen, born in sin, shaken in iniquity, and we were going to hell. But God, by His grace, sent His mercy to us and called us out of those things. I'm so thankful for that. Can you say amen? God called me out of that, brother and sister. I did not deserve it. You're looking at a young man that had piercings all over his face, baggy jeans. I didn't even have my pants up. I was a mess. Doing drugs, alcohol. But through every bit of that, Jesus Christ saw something inside me enough that He wanted to call me to His word. I think that's the greatest thing we should always value is how God called me. God called me. It wasn't Brother Tony that called me or some other brother that called me. It was God that called me. And who is it on your daily basis that pulls on the strings of your heart? It's not a preacher getting on the phone calling you. It's God calling you. That's because you have a seat on that other side that you are ordained to sit in. And the devil will bring things in the way to try to hinder your movement from right here to where you're called to be. But you don't look at the obstacle. You look at the pull that God's put in your heart. God has a catalyst to get us there. And that catalyst is the spoken word of God.
Right.
And that word will agree with the entire Bible.
Right.
Satan specializes in making a mountain out of a molehill. But these people found a common ground in a baby shoe. And I believe that's a lot like a father's table. Because you know, at our table, we have never allowed raising your voice at the table. Because that's a time of reverence. When we sit around the table, it's a time whenever you can open yourself up. And you know, one of the best things I've found that you can get someone to really open up is when you're eating. You say amen. Somebody want to turn the fans on? They're getting kind of hot back here. You know, it's not just you, sis. It's me too. I'm getting hot. Let's just put it that way. Okay, let's just be completely open here. But you know, we didn't allow a bunch of raising our voices at the table, because when you're sitting around a table and you have food, and especially if it's real good food, all you do is eat first. But then after that's over, you're able to. You're able to express what's on your heart. You're able to let the hair down, so to speak. And I believe that's what God desires from us, is that we can come to His table. That we can say, "God, this is what is on my heart." You know, a father wants to know what's on his children's heart. Now, God already knows what's on your heart, but He wants to hear you talk about it. He wants you to express, "God, this is what's on my heart. It is so heavy, and I don't know what to do about it." And you know what? He's got an answer. If you were to ask me, ask Brother Tony, ask Brother Tim, ask Brother Elijah, what should I do? They may not know. Or we might give you the wrong answer. God knows the answer.
Right.
We need to have confidence in that my God not only has the answer, God wants to give me the answer.
Right.
There's so many times a person will be in turmoil when they don't have to be, because there is a Father's table.
Right.
And God wants you to come to His table.
Brother
Grimm says, "Oh, He is a marvelous shepherd. Let Him feed you. He will feed you on His word. The Holy Spirit lives by the word of God. That great shepherd of the flock, certainly. He cannot lose one. It would be a disgrace." You say, "Brother Branham, you mean that?" That's what the Bible said. Look. God told Israel way down in Egypt, "I have given you Palestine." Now, He could have just went up there and excommunicated the whole thing, run them all out with a plague, kill them all off. He could have went up there and sent fear among them and drove them out of the country. But he said, Israel, it's yours. You go get it. They had to fight for every inch of the ground they stood on. And every promise in the book of the great shepherd is to his sheep. But brother, he will never come down and drive it away from you. You've got to fight for every inch of that promise, but it is yours. It belongs to you. Brother and sister, God told them the promised land is yours, but you have got to move that devil out of the way. And that devil will stay there snarling like a mad dog and foam coming out of his mouth. And he will be eyeball to eyeball. But listen to me. There is a bloodline that's between you and that promise and that animal. And as you move forward, that bloodline pushes that devil off of your land. That devil can't touch you. He can snarl. He can growl. He can ask all kinds of things. But he cannot cross the bloodline.
Amen.
Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
God saved me by his blood. God healed me by his blood. By his stripes, I am healed.
Right.
And Brother Brown said he was critics would come to him. And a man said, I was healed of a certain thing. And it only lasted a year. And it come back. He must be a false teacher. He's false. He said, it's because you just don't understand it. You are healed as long as your faith believed you were healed.
Right.
Just as you are saved in the manifestation, just as long as your faith believes it.
Amen.
It is by faith.
Amen.
It don't matter what the circumstances look like. I am saved.
Amen.
It don't matter what the circumstances look like. I am healed.
Right.
It don't matter what it looks like. There was a man that was blind. He couldn't see. He went before a prophet. He prayed for him. He said, you go out and testify. God has healed you. Man come back because he couldn't see. He said, you said I was healed. You said you believed me.
Right. Yeah.
Go out there and testify.
Because
that is when you are chasing the devil off of your promise. It's a snarling dog looking at you with foam coming out of his mouth. He said, don't you even think about coming over here. You walk straight toward that bloodline.
Amen.
And you say, by the promise of his word, he says, by his stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
One step at a time, I am healed. You got this tempted, I don't care. I am healed. Day after day, this man would look just as blind as he was the day before. But you know what? He said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Somebody went to go make fun of him. He said, watch this. He said, praise God, I'm healed. You don't know how long it's going to take. But it's already done.
Amen.
It's just like speaking to that mountain. You say, mountain, be moved. That mountain may not move all at once, but you better believe there's gravel moving on the other side. And every time you speak this word, every time you claim your promise from this Bible, that gravel is moving.
Amen.
So no matter what promise you need, you speak the word.
Amen.
Brother Brandon said, I don't have the quote in front of me. He said, you were born to master every circumstance that will come before you because God gives you the divine promises of the Bible.
Right.
No matter what the devil puts for us, I have a promise in this Bible that I can move him out of the way. And listen, I've got a bloodline.
Yeah, right.
And he cannot cross my bloodline.
Amen.
But listen, if you're way back there, your bloodline's way back there. The more you move forward, the more that bloodline will move.
Amen.
Because you're claiming your promise. What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? The manifestation of you claiming your promises, the more you move forward, the more you will claim those promises. The more you stay back here, you will not manifest it.
Right.
You've got to walk forward and say, I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. It's just like walking in a light. You're following a lantern. You're going over that hill. I don't know how I'm going to get there. What do? You got the lantern. You got to keep chasing that devil. Every time you take a step, that bloodline is just moving him right out of your way.
Amen.
I pray that makes sense.
Amen.
But Brim says, and if you really in your heart love people, they know it. You can't fool people. They're not that dumb. He didn't say they weren't dumb. He said they're not that dumb. Yeah. That's what he's talking about me. you really in your heart love people, they know it. You can't fool people. They're not that dumb. You can make out like you do. They can tell you're only putting on. And Satan can tell when you're putting on. But he knows when it's real. And the only way, you might impersonate it. You might make a whole lot of things look like it. But you'll never get the job done until you come into Christ. That's right. Perfect, consecrated, godly love. Sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. Come to Christ. That's it, friends. True. Look, it refreshed. Did you ever go out in the morning? Like I said, a refreshing feeling. The dew was fell. Notice, did you ever go to the rose garden? Now, it also puts blossoms out in the rock. The rock did. The aroma, the fragrance of the flower early in the morning. Why? Everything is still. And every seed that goes into the ground, the dew is what makes it live again. It refreshes the dirt. And you take the seed of God and put it into a real, good, flexible heart that's not prejudiced and indifferent, just a nice, humble heart. And put that seed of God in there and let it go to growing. And let it get alone to itself. And the dewdrops of glory go to falling on the soul. You'll see the sweetest, meekest, humblest Christian in your neighborhood that you have ever seen. That's right. That's what we want. That's what the world needs, my Christian friend. Brother and sister, it's so important to get alone with God. There's something about getting up early in the morning. How many knows what I'm talking about? You get up and there's the dew on the ground. The kids are asleep. There's a stillness inside the house. It's during those times that the presence of the Lord can drop right down into that room and God can speak to you. You'll hear many times, I had quotes and I took them out and I hope I made the right decision to do that. Brother Brennan would talk about how that he would be in a prayer line and he'd tell the folks, please, please folks, quit standing around. Quit walking around. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so timid. And someone would kind of come over here. He said, if you want to say praise God, that's fine, but stay reverent. In another quote Brother Brennan talked about, he said, unbelieving will cause the spirit to fly away. It is so important that we believe. Because if we disbelieve, we will grieve the Holy Spirit away. Right. A bad attitude will grieve the Holy Spirit away.
Right.
He is a very timid bird. He's a very timid spirit. And we must remember, he wants to be in our presence. But he has a provided way that he will do that. And brother and sister, it's so important that we get alone with God, shut the stuff off, and just let him come in. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It's just like my dogs. I don't have to beg them to come in the house. You open the door, they come. And when you will move the obstacles out of the way, his Holy Spirit will drop into wherever you're at. And he will refresh the soil of your heart to where it will bring forth that richness that you need, that you can manifest the seed that God has put inside you.
Right.
You did not put the seed inside you. God put the seed inside you. But brother and sister, it's so important that we get still, that we can allow ourselves to push the stuff out of the way and say, nothing else matters. This is my time with the Lord. And it is an opportunity for a revival for you. God will come.
Amen.
Another quote that was in A Hidden Life in Christ, by the way. Brother says, the Holy Ghost comes in the quiet of the hour. You know, you go out in the morning real early when the dew is on the ground. The dew falls just before daylight, usually sometime in the night after the hustle and bustle of the world has gone to the bed. After everything is asleep, did you ever go out early in the morning? And you go out early and see how everything is so fresh, just real fresh early in the morning. Why? The old world has been hid away for a while and it's refreshed. And did you ever come in the presence of a man or woman who had hid themselves away from the world? It's refreshing to talk to them. They refreshed themselves. They began to come to life. Did you ever go into the rose garden early in the morning or up down the highway here real early when the dew is on the ground and oh, the odor of the honeysuckles and so forth, the locust blossoms? Did you ever? It's just like a Christian who's hid himself away with God in the stillness of the night or somewhere come forth the next day with a freshness, an odorous life, a pleasant place to be, somebody you like to talk to, somebody that can encourage you, somebody that you can have confidence in. Your neighbor over there, how you love to talk with her, see that freshness, the odor. And the next thing, it yields fruit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit comes, it always plants the seed of God and yields fruit. Another great thing of entering into this place is a place to where you can have confidence. That's from Why Are People So Tossed About? Our confidence can grow by getting still and listening to God. Because He's our confidence. If you have your confidence in me, I'll fail you because I make mistakes and I have to depend on the blood of Jesus Christ every day.
Right.
Can you say amen for yourself?
Amen.
But when your confidence is in Him, that's whenever He will never fail you.
Right.
Amen. If I have my confidence in Brother Tony or Brother Matthew or Brother Malachi, you will fail me. I love you, but you are human.
Right.
You love me. I am human. And I'm the least of every one of you. If God can do anything for me, what can He do for you?
Yeah.
Amen. A sheep that is nervous or upset all the time, it will not bear wool. Sheep are created to follow their shepherd. And I want you to remember, after a tremendous victory many times, there comes a tremendous trial. How many would you agree with me that Elijah was a man of God? Elijah the prophet was a man of God. He was a God that God vindicated. I am with this man. Elijah, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, slew the false prophets. Elijah, under the anointing, did great works before God. And then the anointing left him. And then Elijah felt just like you and me, or probably a whole lot lower, to the point to where he felt like, without a doubt, committing suicide.
Right.
There are so many great singers that would have such an anointing come upon them to cause them to where they feel so great in the Lord. But when it leaves them, it leaves you so empty, so down, so beat down that you feel like there's no hope for you.
Right.
That's how Elijah felt, without a doubt.
Right.
The little anointings that we have, no, Lord forgive me, I don't mean that disrespectfully. We feel that way sometimes. Imagine being the prophet of God. That was the anointing was on him and he was doing a work for the Lord. This man wasn't out going out trying to do bad things. This was a man that was in commission for the Lord. And trials come upon him. And Jezebel said, I'm going to do to you and worse what you did to them. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. And this man felt so defeated, he ran from Jezebel and hid into a cave. Actually, he went to the trees, juniper trees. He went under the juniper trees. And this was a man that felt defeated. He said, I don't know what to do. I had the power of God upon me, and here I am sitting under a juniper tree. You know what he needed to do? He needed to come to the Father's table.
Right.
Because when you come to the Father's table, He knows how to make things all right.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother and sister, no matter what circumstance you're in, I want to tell you, come to the Father's table.
Amen.
He has the answer.
Right.
God knows what to do.
Amen.
Elijah was on the mountaintop. And look what Brother Brennan says about this, just a little bit. He says, but Elijah, in the midst of all of it all, yet many of the children of Israel, thousands of them, had compromised and wanted to live the modern trend of life, yet Elijah would not compromise. He told Jezebel her place and how she must do it. Oh, she hated that prophet. But just the same, she wouldn't claim him, but he was her pastor. Oh, there's a lot of times they don't want to claim it, but a God-sent man to a community is a pastor of the entire community, whether he's Baptist, Presbyterian, or who he is. God anoints his man, and he will not compromise. And the people sometimes hate it because that he stands for truth, but yet he's God's pastor for the hour. Brother and sister, may our ministry here never compromise on the truth, but may it always go forward. But I'm here to tell you, there comes some juniper tree times. Brother Tony, is that the truth? Sometimes I feel like I'm under that thing more than anybody. Like I've got my own special seat. You want your normal seat, Brother Daniel? Yes, right here, please. Juniper tree is where God can meet you. Just a couple more quotes here. Brother Graham says, now our story goes in three different places. One, Mount Carmel. The next, under the juniper tree. The third place, God meets him. He's in a cave. And it's very strange. Pastor here knows, and other ministers, watch after your Mount Carmels. You're going to have a juniper tree. Whenever a man has a blessing, the power of God pours down and does something for you. Look out. Satan is on the track. Just remember the next day, that Monday, after a good day on Sunday, it's going to be a hard thing. Because he's going to do everything he can to knock that confidence out of you. That Holy Spirit instilled in you the day before. Brother and sister, the devil will try to take your confidence away. And what was the answer for Elijah? Get still before God. Mm-hmm. And God will build your confidence. How many need your confidence built sometimes? Mm-hmm. Sure. That devil will take your confidence. I'm here to tell you, this last week, I lived under the juniper tree. Praise God, walking by faith, I am the revival, and don't feel a thing. But we don't go by feelings.
Right.
I'm saved because his word said I'm saved. Yeah. And I walk towards that promise, and every time I walk, that bloodline goes through, and I'm claiming my promise everywhere I go.
Right.
Brother and sister, you claim your promise. Yeah. You claim your confidence. God, one by one, I know everyone's getting tired of. You claim your promise. Because whenever you will claim your promise, God will instill your confidence and you will take more ground. The more you claim your promise. But it's not my feelings, brother. So if you go by feelings, you will walk defeated.
Right.
Brother Graham talked about, he said, you got some people, they got ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. He said, you got another here, they're steadfast. Keep going. He says, what is it? He said, God, the Father, what he says. He said, the Father is a good Father. He doesn't give put you all at the table and give one ice cream as though you ain't getting no ice cream. God gives everybody ice cream, but you got to take it.
Amen.
God will give you the opportunity for your revival, but you got to claim your revival. You got to say, you know what? I want my good marriage. I'm going to have my good marriage.
Amen.
I want my good church service. I'm going to have my church service. I don't care how I feel. I'm walking by faith. I don't care what my brothers look like. I claim you by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is an identity in you that you didn't put there. I didn't put there. God put there. And I'm going to keep pulling at you until I see more of that life coming out of you.
Amen.
Can you say amen to your pastor? Whenever he preaches the word, say, Brother Tony, don't you sway to the left or the right. Give me that word exactly how that prophet said it. Because I want the same verse. I want the same healings. I want the same miracles. He's the same God and he will do it.
Amen.
But we got to claim it by faith and say, God, I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Brother and sister, you want to see the revival? You're looking at it. And I'm looking at it too.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God has got more for us. We've got more miracles in front of us than behind us.
Right.
I believe so. But we got to walk by faith.
Amen.
I'm sure Job felt empty, alone. Job would have bad things happen, and those people say, you know what, Job, your secret sin in your life, if you just only didn't have that sin in your life, Job, you wouldn't have these problems. And Job had to just push it off because Job knew, I'm doing my burnt sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that was his token for his day.
Right.
His token for his day was to do a burnt offering every day and identify with his sacrifice. And he could claim his children. He could claim everything that he had. And even though his world was turned upside down, You're talking about a man that was rich, had everything going right, and the devil got authorization from the devil to come against him like a flood. He said, you do everything you want to, but don't take his life. This man had every opportunity, every reason to quit. But there was something inside him that he didn't put there. It was a seed of God on the inside that said, I will not curse this word. I will keep doing my sacrifice. I will keep applying the token. Listen to me. Whenever you're going through your trial, that's when the devil will try to get you to lay your bars down and say, you know what? It's time to relax. Let's just coast a while. No, don't coast. That's when you tighten the belt up, as the brother said last night. That's the time whenever you say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that blood is even thicker. We must apply the token to our life. That's why we take that word, brother and sister, and we are filtering everything inside our house by that word. Amen. Brother Branham talked about a thinking man's filter. He said he was out in the woods. He called it a cigarette pack. And I'm sure he hated to use that as an example, but it said I can't remember. Smoking man's taste. But that's not my point. The point is, it was a filter on a cigarette. That would be a thinking man's filter. And Brother Brenham said, you know what? If he was thinking that at all, he wouldn't be smoking cigarettes.
Right.
But he said, listen, this cigarette, they put that filter on top of that cigarette because he would filter out the nicotine. He said, but really what that does, it causes you to smoke more cigarettes.
Right.
Because you get just enough nicotine through that filter to where you'll crave another one. And you'll smoke twice as much cigarettes, and now you will buy more cigarettes. It was looked like it was good, but it was a sales gimmick. But we have got a filter, and it is the Word of God. That's where we must circumcise everything that comes into our house, everything that comes into our life, because that is us saying, Lord, I don't want this stuff in my house. You know, Abraham had to circumcise every man child. Everyone that he bought must be circumcised. You know what? Everything that comes into our life must be circumcised by the Word of God.
Amen.
If it can't fit through the filter, brother and sister, get it out of your house.
Amen.
Because you know what? The devil will use those things to clog your pipes. Because you know what? You can tell yourself, I'll just watch this one little show. You watch it. You skip. Brother Daniel ain't telling you the truth. Little by little by little. One thing will turn to another. Third thing to another. Turn to another. And you say, we'll let that one slide. We'll let that one slide.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
Right.
But Brother Daniel, we got a cell phone. We do. And unfortunately, we have to have a cell phone. But you don't have to watch those things. Amen.
Amen.
I feel about like Elijah. What if the people hated Elijah? That's the truth anyhow. Because
yeah.
Brother and sister, if you want a victorious life, this is how it happens. Because listen, the devil, we must take every sin that easily besets us and move it out of the way that we can run this race.
Right.
That we can have our eyes on that cross, on the finish line, and move forward. Because you tell you what, if you will make room for God, God will fill the space.
Amen.
If you will make room in your house for God, God will fill the space. And you're like, I ain't got no more room for God. You start making some room. Like, my goodness, I didn't realize I had this much room for God. God wants to move in your life, brothers and sisters. Listen to me, young people. God wants to move in your life. But you have got to make room for Him. You've got to make a choice. You are a free moral agent. And you can choose. You are a partner with God. And God gives you the authority. He gives you the power to lay your old life down. I want to see miracles. The first miracle I want to see is somebody laying the old man down. Because when you lay it down, the new life can come up.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Bram talked about, you know, it's not a divorce if you're old man. It's a death of the old man. Because if the old man is still alive, you might bump into the dollar store. Now, Brother Bram didn't say dollar store, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
If the old man's still alive, you might bump into a dollar store. So you'll do just fine. All of a sudden, you bump into the dollar store, and next thing you know, you're right back together again.
Right.
You'll say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do those things. You go a little while longer, you bump into the gas station. That old man has got to die.
Amen.
It's got to die. Say, God, I can't do this by myself because you can't do it. It takes God to cause that man to die.
Right.
But if you will be sincere before God and say, Lord, I want to make room for you in my life. I want revival in my life. That's the thing, brother, sister. We have got to be more sincere. We've got to be more sincere. When that presence begins to drop down, we need to acknowledge that is the presence of the Lord. Teach your children, this is the presence of the Lord. When you rise up in the morning, this is why. They said, why are we doing this token? What means this token? Because this is the Lord's Passover. Let me tell you, this is why we live our life like this. Why is it wrong to do this? Let me show you. Because what are you doing? You're explaining the Passover to your children. You're explaining the word to your children, brother and sister. When your neighbors come by, your friends come over, what meaneth this? Why don't you do these things? Why don't you do this? Let me tell you. It's the Lord's Passover. I am applying the blood to my house. I'm applying the word to my life. If we had the literal blood here, there wouldn't be enough to go around, but the blood has become the word.
Right.
For we take the word and we're applying it to our home. And we're saying, Lord, here's my home. I'm not trying to put a legalistic thing on you, brother and sister. I'm trying to make room for the Lord.
Amen.
And he will fill that vessel.
Amen.
If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
You know, they talk about these goofy, I think maybe they're not goofy, maybe they're, I don't know, horse whispers. They'll have a horse way down there, and a man will kneel down, and he'll watch that horse, and he'll get a little closer, and he'll kneel down, and he'll eventually just keep working with that horse, and next thing you know, that horse will come all the way up and tap him on the shoulder, put his head on his shoulder. I don't know if he can really do that or not, but I'm going to tell you this. God will.
Yeah.
If you will humble yourself and say, Lord, here I am. I'm right here in my living room. I'm right here in my bedroom.
Amen.
I'm right here in my closet. You pick the place.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, here I am. I desire you in my life.
Right.
I desire you in my children. God, I've got these things going on, and I don't know what to do about it. If you will just let kneel down and you humble yourself before the Lord, that spirit will come right over to you. And he will get eyeball to eyeball with you. He won't get way up there where you can't understand him. God will get eyeball to eyeball with you. And he will lead you.
Amen.
God wants to lead you.
Amen.
God wants you to come sit at his table where God can speak to you lip to ear. God wants to open his word to you.
Amen.
God wants to get on your level and lead you up. God wants to give you the revelation. Where you're not just going by head knowledge, he wants to minister to you. You know, a lot of men can preach good sermons, but they don't minister to the people.
Right.
Good sermon sounds good to get a lot of amens. A good ministry is whenever you are leading the sheep.
Right.
When you're taking them, not just leading them to a holier life, a born-again experience of knowing who you are. Brother and sister, that's the heart of the church that wants to do for you. It don't want to preach good sermons. He wants to minister to you. Because he wants to lead you somewhere. And I want to follow. Amen.
Amen.
I pray this is making sense this morning.
Amen.
I'm going to read this one more. Brother Brim says, poor, tired, weary servant. He saw him. He knew where he was. He said, he knows where you're at tonight. Talk about God. He knows where you're at tonight. You may be under a juniper tree, everything gone, but remember, he knows where you're at. We don't need a whole lot of refixing up. Like the old colored woman said down in the South, she had an accident, the car had hit her, and it hurt her pretty bad. And the lawyer said, do you want to sue for damages? She says, Lord's mercy. No, honey. She said, I have been damaged. I want some repair for me. Can you say amen? I don't want repair for my car. I want repair for me. And you know, that's what we need, brother and sister. Don't say, Lord, fix this. Lord, fix this. Let's say, Lord, fix me.
Amen.
Fix me wherever I need fixed because God will fix it. As Brother Tony said many times, sometimes you don't even know what to pray. You know what you say? Lord, fix me.
Amen.
And he'll fix you. Amen. We need some repair. One last quote and then we'll be done, okay?
Yeah.
Brother Brim says, I tell you, Elijah, his nerves were on the edge anyhow. I always felt so sorry for him. His nerves were about ready to break anyhow, and that great pound from Jezebel finished the stroke. Then he ran and went to the wilderness and laid under the juniper tree. Oh, that experience of the juniper tree. There's many of us find ourselves under the juniper tree. I get myself under there many times to a place that you don't know what to do. You're frustrated. Frankly, I'm right under it now and wondering, oh God, what would you have me do? You know, people under the juniper tree is like Elijah. They like to sleep. And I preach more tired people than anybody in the world. People is so tired. They are so mentally strained until they're filling the insane institutions and hospitals everywhere. They went into a nervous condition till they don't know what they do and what they want to do. They went into a nervous condition till they don't know what they believe and what they want. They just laying there and they don't know what to do. Oh, it's such a sad sight. But listen, my brother, you can't drink it off. You can't shout it off. Neither can you play cards till it's dough. And you can make thousands of siestas and try to sleep it off, and you can't do it. All our remedies, only thing it does is help the symptoms. We've got to have a cure for the disease. We've got to have all the psychiatrists in the world cannot cure it. It only helps the symptoms. The cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. Not take a rest at a seashore. Not go to an anthem choir and sing anthems. That's what we're trying to do today. Sing it off. Oh, we'll make ourselves like the Joneses. Or we'll try to do something different. Try to educate it out. There's only one way to do it, and that's face the facts. That's right. Oh, if you're upset, frustrated, don't join church. Come to Christ. That's our only remedy. Don't apply. Don't try to turn a new page. Get the new life. Christ is your answer. Amen. Let's all stand. Don't try treating the symptoms, but come to Christ and say, Lord, here I am. And see if God don't come for you. And listen to what Brother Daniel's saying. Don't you look for feelings. Because if you do that, that devil will talk you out of it, and next thing you know, you will give up in just a few minutes. You don't even look for feelings. When you're praying, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm here to serve you, Lord. If resistance, come forth, please, if you don't mind. Here I am, Lord. Because God will come. Amen. Come to the Master's table. Come to the Father's table. Because when you're at the Father's table, you can be honest with him and say, Lord, this is what's going on. If God can speak to you, sometimes he don't even have to talk to you. Sometimes he can just look at you. My wife or my daughter, sometimes we'll be having a little talk and she'll sit there and all I got to do is look at her. And it just opens right up. That's the way it is with God, brother and sister. Sometimes you just got to get to the table. And when you get there, it just automatically, because you say, I don't know what I'll say. What will I talk to him about? Why do this? Just get to the table. Because when you get to the table, the scripture says you don't even know what you should pray for. The Spirit makes intercession for you. Sometimes you just got these things going. Say, Brother Daniel, I don't know what to do about it. Get to the table. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just humble ourselves before him this afternoon. And search, you say, Lord, I want to come to the table. Lord sees your hands. Don't look around. Humble yourself before him. Lord, I want to come to your table. We're going to have a table spread with food here the next few days. We got a table this morning that's spread. And the Father's saying, here I am. I've got your chair. Nobody else can sit in this chair. This is your chair. Sit in that chair and say, Lord, here I am. And just be honest with him. Can you help us, Lord, gentlemen?
Friends. You know every concern. And you're so mindful of it, Lord. You're mindful of the sparrows, Lord. You're so mindful of the lilies in the field, Father. All the flowers. Lord, all the birds, Lord, you're so mindful of it. How much more are you mindful of this little child of God, Lord? Lord, as she comes to your table this morning, she says, Lord, here I am. Lord, this is my concern, Father. Lord God, I ask you to give her the answers, Lord, she's desiring. Lord, I ask you to move these mountains, Lord, that's concerning, Lord. I ask you to break these fetters, Father, that try to afflict this little sheep, Lord. Lord, that she can bear the wool that she is ordained to bear, Lord. Oh, God, help her to have her eyes on that prize, Lord. Lord Jesus, pressing forward, Lord, not looking for emotions, not looking for sensations, looking at this word, Lord, moving forward, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to move this mountain for this sister, Lord. Lord Jesus, give a revival in Jesus' name. Father's table this morning, Lord. Lord, here I am, Lord. Lord, these are the things on my heart, Lord. And Lord, I know you are so mindful of every one of them, Lord. You know everything he's been thinking about, Lord. You know every trial that he's been fighting, Father. You know every obstacle, Lord. You know all the questions, all the concerns, Lord. Lord, you know how to take all the pieces and put it together. I ask you that you will come now, Lord. Lord, that you'll meet this child of God, Lord, as he's at your table, Lord. He says, Lord, here I am. Speak to him, Lord. Lord, confirm your word just as I preached it for you, Lord. That you will get eyeball to eyeball with him, Lord. And you will lead him. Oh, Lord, I ask you to lead him in his marriage, Lord. Lead him in his home, God. Oh, Lord, may that lay everything of the old life down, Lord. Lord, in your spirit, Lord, that refreshing spirit, Lord, will refresh the soil of his heart, Lord. Oh, God, would you nurture the seed on the inside, Lord? Lord, that it will push forth that life, Lord. Lord, as the prophet said, that little seed will just drink and push, Lord, drink and push, Lord. And as the new life comes out, them old dead leaves just fall off the tree. Oh, Lord, I ask that the new life would come this morning. Lord, I ask you that revival fire would burn in his heart, Lord. Not looking for some kind of an emotion, but looking for life. Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name. Father. Heavenly Father, I come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you see this little lamb, Lord. It comes to your table, Lord. Lord, and you know every trouble, Lord. You know every fetter, every question that he has, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would come, Lord, that you would answer the questions for him, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would get eyeball to eyeball level with him, Lord. Lord, that you could show him that he has the power to lay that old life down, Lord. Lord, I ask that the old man would die. Oh, God, that your life could rise up through him, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to search his heart, Lord. Lord, as the prophet said so many times, people want a Savior because they don't want to go to hell. But you don't want to just be a Savior. You want to be the Lord of his life. Lord, I ask you that you'd go to every door of his heart this morning. God, I ask you to go to every closet, God. Lord Jesus, go to the hidden parts of his life, Lord. Oh, God, and may you take that blood, Lord, and purge the house, Father. Oh, God, would you kill everything that's unlike you, Lord. Oh, God, may the old nature of the old man die, Lord, that lamb nature could come forth, Lord. That the prophet said that the sheep, his whole system is wool. Oh, Lord, I ask you that you would Startle this seed this morning, Lord. Quicken it to life, oh God, that it will push that wool out of this lamb, Lord. That he will bear the life, Lord. Oh God, I call on your name. We buck in your Holy Spirit. To restore our confidence this morning, Lord. Lord, would you refresh the soil around the seed that you put inside her, Lord? Oh God, I ask you to bring a revival, Lord. Help her to be the wife that you have called her to be, Lord. Oh God, but not just the wife, Lord, in every area of her life, Lord, as she can lay that old life down this morning, Lord, and say, Lord, let me die to myself, Lord, that your Spirit can grow, Lord. Oh, Lord, spark that seed this morning, Lord. Lord, go into her heart right now, Lord. Go through every door. Go through every closet of her life, oh God. Go deep within her life, Lord. Lord, when she was a small child, Lord, of everything that would try to cause a hindrance, that would try to cause a complex in her life, Lord. Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we rebuke everything that's on life. Lord, may this little sheep bear the holy life, Lord. May there be a convicting power, Lord Jesus, that will burn on the inside out, oh God. Lord, may that divine love pull out everything unlike you, Lord. May there be such a fragrance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will burn deep within her, Father, that she will be as that fountain, that spring, Lord, that just bubbles from the inside out, Lord. May the love of God pull out all the trash, oh God. Pull out everything. Pull out all the unbelief, Lord. Pull out everything that's unlike you, Lord. May that Holy Ghost and fire come this morning, Lord, and meet this child of God, Lord. She's at your table, Lord. She says, here I am, Lord. Your word says, if I will draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto me, Father. Here I am. I lay myself before you, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to bring a revival of fire and the Holy Ghost, Lord. Pray, Father, may she be able to believe your word, Lord, in depth that she's never been able to do it, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you that you've been such a refreshing in the Spirit, Lord, that she can't wait to meet you in her prayer life, Lord. That whenever she opens her Bible, Lord, it'll be a new book, Father. Oh, pray, Lord, I call on your name. Lord, but you were there all the time, and you're here now, Lord.
Oh God, I ask you, Lord, would you come into her heart afresh this morning, Lord? Would you go through every door of her life, Lord, every closet, oh God? And Lord, we want to lay it all down at your feet, Lord. Say, Lord, I claim the blood this morning. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to purge her heart, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. Lord, that she can lay that old life down, Lord, of everything that's unlike you, Lord. May she not try to work anything else, but just be a sheep. Just be the word, Lord. May she be able to do as the prophet said, as a tree would do, drink and push. Oh, God, may she be able to drink the Spirit this morning, Lord. May there be a communion this morning, Lord. Lord, that she can take the word and say, Lord, this is your bread, and I eat it. This is your Spirit, Lord. I receive it. Oh, God, I ask you to flood her soul this morning, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to be the Lord of her life, Lord. Not just her Savior, Lord, but the Lord of her life. I ask you to take every fetter that she has, Lord, that you would break every one by one, Lord. Oh, Lord, I ask you to take every concern. Lord, restore her confidence as a child of God, Lord. Lord Jesus, would you give a refreshment, Lord, for her prayer life, Lord? Lord, would you compel her, Lord, to get up and pray? Would you compel her, Lord, to lay the things to the side, Lord? Because if she will make room for you, you will fill the spot. Oh, God, come, Lord. I welcome you, Holy Spirit.